Matthew chapter 7,
beginning with verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall thereof. And then from Luke chapter 6, the parallel passage. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings, and do with them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house, and dig deep, and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house, and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Our text is obviously the conclusion of the entire amazing sermon preached by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The sermon that is called commonly the Sermon on the Mount. Its mighty theme was and is the theme of the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness. The righteousness of that kingdom exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. It is ultimately the righteousness of Jesus Christ. The citizens of this kingdom hunger and thirst after that righteousness. Christ is the king of that kingdom. He is the king of kings. And by his grace, we have become citizens, the blessed and glorious citizens of that kingdom. Jesus spoke all of these things with great authority, so that when he finished the sermon, the people marveled. They were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. The word therefore indicates that this is the conclusion of all of this instruction. Some limit that simply to the words of warning that Jesus ends the sermon with, warning regarding false prophets and those who imagine that they are citizens of the kingdom, saying, Lord, Lord, and in fact, they will be proven finally not to be citizens of the kingdom. But we believe it is better to make this the conclusion of the entire sermon. And Jesus makes this conclusion by telling us a parable a parable of two builders. This parable is so simple that even children are able to understand it. This parable speaks about hearing the word of the Lord and doing that word. And it speaks of those who are wise and those who are foolish. A foolish man is one who knows reality and doesn't behave according to reality. He says in his heart that there is no God. He's a fool because he knows reality, but he doesn't acknowledge that God. A wise man is one who hears the truth and who behaves in his or her life according to that truth. That's illustrated very powerfully then by the parable that our Lord teaches us in this passage. We consider that parable this morning under the theme, the wisdom of building on the rock. Notice, first of all, who this rock is. Secondly, how we build upon this rock. And finally, the test of each man's building. There are several main concepts in the passage. There is, first of all, the rock, or the foundation. Any man who must and will build a building will take into account that this building has to be built upon a foundation. As we have had the occasion to drive around a little in Northern Ireland, we see many houses that are, I'm sure, more than 100 years old, and they stand because they were built upon a foundation. The foolish man also builds his house, which is very significant. He builds his house. He busies himself with building his house, but he's foolish because he doesn't build upon a foundation. He's engaged in planning, in working, in exerting effort, in building a house. He knows that he needs the house from a formal point of view. He and his family must be sheltered from the winds and the rains and the storms for his protection. But he is foolish in that he has no regard to the truth that that house must be built upon a foundation. Key to understanding the text is, of course, answering rightly the question, who is the rock? Who is the foundation? Building on this foundation means that one relies upon, depends upon, rests on this foundation. And so, really all the activity of building is the activity of resting upon the foundation that has been built. All of Scripture makes it very plain that the rock is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other rock upon which we must build our house, not the works of men. Jesus, in this parable, is evidently condemning the whole theology of the scribes and Pharisees who imagined that they could be saved through their own works. Jesus is condemning many other trains of thought, systems of theology that are very popular in our modern day times. There are still those who build. When Jesus is referring here to those who build, he is not talking about heathen people. He is talking about those who hear the word of Christ. They are part of the church. They listen to the preaching of the word, and they do not take heed to the word of Christ. The foundation is Christ. Scriptures are very plain, and this very same figure is used in several beautiful places in Scripture that I want to call attention to. Isaiah chapter 28 uses this figure in verse 16. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. This is quoted, this passage is quoted in 1 Peter chapter 2, referring to the same figure. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verses 6 to 9. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore, which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the headstone of the corner. This figure is used as well in Psalm 118 and verse 22. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. Jesus used this same figure when he spoke with his disciples and questioned them concerning what and who they believed he was. And in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus answers with these words when Peter makes the confession, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Then Peter says, or Jesus says to Peter, thou art Peter, and upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. There he is speaking of the church founded upon that foundation. She is founded upon the church, upon Christ. The truth of who he is and what he has done. Then, just one more passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where Jesus, or the Apostle Paul, the inspired Apostle Paul, is admonishing the members of the church in chapter 3 and verse 10. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ, the foundation. of the church is Christ. It is the truth of Christ. It is the word of Christ. That's very obvious from our text. Jesus speaks of believing, of hearing and believing his word, and by so doing, being founded upon the rock, the only rock, the only foundation. The child of God builds upon that foundation when he repents of his sin, and by faith, he trusts in Christ. So Jesus says, this is the work of God in John chapter 6, that John chapter 6, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent. Building upon that foundation is the work of the child of God when he or she hears and believes the word of Christ. That word of Christ in our text is not to be minimalized, but it is the whole of the word of Christ. That's why earlier I emphasized that the connection of our text is not just to the warnings about false prophets and false professors, but the reference is to the whole of the word of Christ. Central to the word of Christ is the truth of who Christ is and the truth of the cross of Jesus Christ. Believing in Christ, therefore, is believing in his cross and in his resurrection and in his exaltation. Building on the word of Christ, therefore, is receiving the whole of the word of Christ. There is in our text set forth the beautiful unity of believing and building on Christ, hearing and receiving and trusting in his word. Building upon Christ is the work that the child of God, born of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, it is the work of faith that he or she must constantly be engaged in the whole of his and her life. By God's grace, we must build upon Christ. Our only confidence is in Christ, the Son of God, and in his perfect righteousness. There is a mighty activity that goes on throughout the whole of the life of the child of God, and that is the mighty activity of faith. That's illustrated in some of the wording, especially, that is recorded in Luke chapter 6, and that's why I also read from that passage. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on rock. Understand these words? There is a mighty activity involved in those words. Building upon Christ is a very difficult activity. It is the activity of the faith of the child of God whenever the word of Jesus Christ is preached, when the child of God comes to church on the Lord's Day and hears the Word of Christ preached. And the child of God receives that Word by faith and trusts in the Christ of that Word. Then that child of God is visited upon Christ. Wonderful thing, children. When you are instructed in the catechism class, learning the great truths of God, the great doctrines of salvation, the truth of God and of Jesus Christ, then as you receive that word by faith, you are building upon Christ, the rock. And that is important. The man of the parable digs down deep in order that he might build upon the rock, who is no one else than Jesus Christ. There is therefore in the life of the child of God the central matter of hearing and believing the word of Christ. And that's a very comprehensive thing. All of the word of God is ultimately the word of Christ, which God himself has laid as the chief cornerstone of the church. And even when the child of God does the works of God, he doesn't add to that foundation. The works that we are called to do are those works that we do through faith in Jesus Christ. So never are the works the foundation. Christ is the only foundation. And the whole of our life, all of our obedience to Christ, involves resting in, building upon Christ. This is the simple doctrine of the whole of the Scriptures. And yet, it is exactly that doctrine that is repeatedly contradicted. And it is contradicted in the sphere of the church. That's why I pointed to the fact that in the parable, also the foolish man builds. He hears the word, but he rejects the word. The whole system of Pharisaical theology did exactly that. It heard Christ speak, and it rejected the word of Christ. It built, the Pharisee built their house. They knew they needed a house to shelter them and to protect them, and they imagined that that house could be built upon their own works of righteousness. And they were very busy people. They were active in trying to keep the law of God meticulously. They had huge volumes of commentaries that were refinement and explanation of what it meant to keep the law of God of the Ten Commandments. And they went about establishing their own righteousness, and they did that with great zeal. That's the error that Jesus condemns in the parable. But there's more, and we have to understand that. This is the error of Romanism. This is the theology of the Roman Catholic Church. It was that in the days of the Reformation, and it still is that today. It's a system of works righteousness. According to that system, man is taught not to trust finally in Christ, but to trust in the works that the church prescribes of penance and Hail Marys and saying the rosary and going to the accursed idolatry of the Mass and making pilgrimages to Rome and during the Middle Ages of joining crusades. By all of these works, the theology of the Church of Rome teaches man that he must build on all of these things. And in these things, he must put his confidence and put his hope, and in these things, he must glory. But there's more than this. This is the same error of modernism today. It is the idea that through the works of humanitarianism, man will prove himself to be good and he will accomplish his own salvation. Modernism has engulfed the church today. That church has left the word of Christ. It rejects the truth that Jesus is the Son of God. It rejects the truth that he was born of a virgin. It rejects the truth that his cross was for atonement and for satisfaction for sin. It will not believe the word of Christ, and in its place it puts humanitarian works. Of these, the modern day church world boasts and glories. And at the same time, there's no need for repentance. In the system of modernism, you can live as you please. You can be as worldly as you want. You can live an immoral life. It doesn't matter. Because religion is all about humanitarianism. You need not keep the Sabbath, even though Christ teaches us that we must keep the Lord's Day. All of that is unimportant. You can use the Lord's Day for your pleasure, as most of modernism does. It doesn't matter that you are involved in a life of immorality, even the most gross immorality imaginable. You still can profess the name of Christ, and you can busy yourself with all of these humanitarian concerns, and so the churches are emptied out because modern day Christendom does not want the word of Christ. It refuses to believe the word of Christ. It boasts, as Jesus warns, in the last day it imagines it will boast, "Lord, Lord, have we not done this great thing and that great thing in thy name?" And Jesus will condemn them. "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you." That will be the judgment of our Lord, we are sure, on much of the modern day church world who claims to know the name of Christ, but who refuses to do the work of faith, believing and confessing the truth of Jesus Christ and living in their lives by that truth. But you and I, we have the same sinful nature. It is hard to hear the word of Christ. because the word of Christ contradicts our sinful nature. It condemns the root of pride that lives in the hearts of every one of us. The church history is the history of turning religion into salvation by works. That's the popular religion, and that's the religion that appeals to your and my salvation. And when that takes over in our hearts, then we will be like the Pharisees, boasting and glorying in our own works. The truth of the gospel is the truth of Christ, who is the Son of God, and the truth of his cross, which is the only hope of our righteousness. True faith is the faith, the God-given faith, that rests in Christ. On Christ, the solid rock, I say, all other ground is sinking sand. That truth will be tested. It is tested in this way, according to the parable. It is tested when the winds and the storms come and beat upon the house that has been built. And the language that is used is vivid language. Listen to how vivid the language is. The rains descended and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And then in verse 27, the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And then in Luke chapter 6, you have the same vivid language using the word vehemently. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house, and it could not shake it, for it was found upon a rock. The same language is used in the next verse, suggesting that the floods and the rains and the storms are a mighty power. They are so mighty that when the house is beat upon by these powers, it shall not be able to stand. Now, what are they referring to? What does Jesus mean by this very strong and vivid language? Ultimately, the reference must be to the judgment of God. That's why the language is used in our text. The storms are not minor trials and difficulties, which people might think are storms and conflicts in their life, but they are ultimately the storms of God's judgment. Now, it is true that already those judgments come, and they are all, they are fearful. They are sickness and suffering and calamities and troubles, disease and old age, severe trials. But we believe, according to the truth of God's word, that also these are sent of God. They are signs of the final judgment that is to come. And when these come, the house is tested. And that already happens for the ungodly man who did not build his house upon the rock, Jesus Christ. He has all kinds of false theology that ultimately is a theology of the works of man. Modernism is ultimately the false theology of the works of man. And when the judgments come, and they do, already in this life, the man who built a house without a foundation is in the state of despair. He begins to realize that his house has no foundation. And all of these powerful forces, far greater than anything that he can stand in himself, they bring down his house. Finally, those storms are the final judgment, the pouring out of the wrath of God against all ungodliness and wickedness of men. And when those storms come, the storms of the righteous judgment of God, great is the fall of that house. We must pay attention to why Jesus described that as a great fall. The reason why it's a great fall is because in the imagination of men, the house that they busied themselves with in building, all of their good works, all of their boasting and glorying in themselves, made that house to be such a house. What a grand building I have made for myself through all the works that I have done. And the storms, the winds, and the floods come upon that house, and great is the fall thereof. That man will say, Lord, Lord, have I not done this in thy name and done that in my name? But in all of their theology, in their works righteousness, in their modernism, in their refusal to hear and believe the word of Christ, they build a house that is entirely without foundation. And when the final judgment comes, that house shall be utterly destroyed to the utter despair and dismay of those who built that house. But this is the gospel, beloved, of our text. This is the gospel. Verse 25. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not. Why not? For it was founded upon a rock. What a grand and glorious thing. Beloved, that's true. Already, for the child of God, in this life, we live in a sin-cursed world. And as long as we are in this world, we also experience the pouring out of God's righteous judgments upon this world. There are Christians who die in war, in famine, as a result of cancer and disease and old age. And when God sends to His children all of these things, He does not imagine that the foundation of his or her life is in the works that he himself has accomplished. He hears the gospel of Christ, who is the rock, and by faith in the whole of his life, he builds upon that rock. This is real, beloved. And when troubles come, affliction, today we can't even imagine such a thing, but imagine having to go to war as a Christian, to have to face the terrible things that happen. Imagine having to go through one of the great tragedies, such as an earthquake or a tsunami, and having your life in danger and losing your loved ones, all kinds of winds blowing upon your life. How then shall you and I stand? We shall stand when by the grace of God we hear the word of Christ, believe all the glorious doctrines that are contained in the word of Christ, and build our life by faith upon those doctrines. And as a pastor for 40 years, I've seen the solid character of the life of the faithful child of God who has built his house by faith upon Christ, the solid rock. But far more wonderful than that is understanding all of this, as it is the prophecy also of the last days, when God pours out his wrath upon the ungodly, then the house of the child of God shall be able to stand, because Christ himself has borne the pouring out of the wrath of God while he hung on the cross. And he arose from the dead, and he ascended into heaven. And with him is our righteousness and the hope of our salvation and all of our glory. And so by faith we build upon the one foundation, Jesus Christ, and then gloriously and wonderfully, in the day of Christ, we shall stand, because we are built upon the unshakable rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. May God give us the grace every day of our life, through prayer and faith, through the hearing of the word of Christ, through coming to church faithfully, through believing all the great doctrines that he has taught us, and trusting in him and glorying in him as the rock of our salvation. Amen.